Welcome. It's the Mind Buying Leadership here live on talkradio.nyc. My name is Graham Dobbin. Every week I am absolutely privileged to be able to speak to lots of different people, just kind of getting the insights, the background of how maybe they've set up business, their journeys, what's happened, what they've had to deal with, especially over the last couple of years. Now, I believe it's a snowy Tuesday afternoon in New York, and it's a wet Wednesday morning here in Sydney in Australia. I'm really lucky today because what we've got is, I believe I'm going to be able to speak to more than one person today, and I know that these guys have got stories. These guys have definitely got background to tell us of what's happened. Now, it's easy to talk about business people having two different journeys. I've got two people here that are very close to each other, but my guesses have different journeys coming into where they are. And I'm lucky enough to be able to, I would guess, I'm looking for agreement, but call them friends. Normally, this is the point when I do a big intro, but I'm not going to do that this time. I think I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves. So from Dimensional Training, which is where they are at the moment, I'm going to hand it over to, first of all, who's going to go for Adrena, I think you're ready to tell us just a little bit about your background, give some people a bit of an insight to you. We can't hear you at the minute. We'll get you to do that. There we go.
How are you guys?
We're good. Good to see you.
My name's Adrena McQueary. I am 32 years old. And I work with my father at Dimensional Training Studios. And I didn't start in this industry, so you are correct. I was doing a whole bunch of other different things. And then I realized what I enjoyed doing was helping people through fitness. So I started off small, and then I decided to help my dad build Dimensional Training, which I've been doing for the past 7 years.
Nice. So we will dig into the past a little bit, understand why you got here, and maybe get a slip. When I did a little bit of digging on you, Adrena, you got some really good stories, my guess, of what you can share with us, some experiences. Andrew, where have you?
Hey. Hi, Andrew. Happy New Year, people. Hello.
Good to see you. I still like to say that in February. Yeah, Happy New Year. Good to see you.
Yeah, everything's for me. It's been like Adrena said, it's been obviously a great a partnership to be in with your daughter and working together, sticking things. So when things go bad, you don't have to explain it to anyone else. You know, you don't have to explain it at home because she knows very well what's going on with everything. So when things are going great, they know the same, you know?
Yeah. I'm really curious about kind of the background of Dimensional, how it came about. We will get to the journey, what's happened over the last couple of years, and even how we got together, how we connected,
yes,
which was kind of special. So please, whoever wants to give us just that little bit of background, why Dimensional, why is it different, first of all?
Adrena?
So, and just before that, Andrew, I know you've got things going on in the background. Please feel free to pop your camera off and go sort yourself out and rejoin us if that works for you, mate. Adrena.
why did we name it Dimensional? Or why?
Why Dimensional? What's the difference? What's going on here that kind of makes this very different? I suppose where I'm coming from is, we look at the fitness industry and you know what it's like. It's like the training industry, the coaching industry. Everybody kind of lumps everyone together. And everybody thinks that everybody does all the same stuff. And that's just not true.
So yes.
What kind of stands you out and what was the thought process behind it?
Yeah, we work really hard to prove our theory and technique different than other gyms and other studios. So the difference between Dimensional Training, what you're going to get at our studio that you're not going to get at most gyms is the personal touch. So even though we have group fitness training, it feels like private training in those classes. And we make sure that that's the one thing we will continue to let happen because everybody's different. Everybody has their own injuries, their own histories, things of that, their own fears, and you have to deal with people differently to make them go in the direction that you want, that they want to go in the fitness world, and the, you know, the way you want them to go in to be moving correctly as well. So that's, yep, that's one of our big differences at our studio. We also have a specific technique that we use in our training, and it works for most of our classes, even though our classes are different. Our belief in strength training and corrective exercise combined is what makes our studio different and our classes different.
How did you come up with this? Why did you see this as something that was missing? We'll come to the other part, because what we're looking at now at the moment is probably the traditional way that people look at training companies, at gyms, at studios, around like that. It's all about the physical side. We'll come to the mental side at the moment, because I know that's huge for you guys.
Yeah.
The psychological part of it, which isn't always taken into account. How did you come up with this? This part's missing.
Well, a lot from experience. You, when you go to different studios, you're pretty much going to get the same thing, right? You're going to go, whether you want to go and work hard or whether you don't want to go and work hard, you're going to get some sort of work in, right? And then you have those different type of people who just want to sweat, you know? But what we believe in is the mind-body connection that allows you to be better and do better than if you just walk into any gym class. So on top of our technique, we teach how to connect with your body in a way so that it can always move safely. And the longevity of your joints and muscles is why we do what we do, why we make sure that we don't just allow everybody to do the same thing, because we want everyone to be safe. And we want them to learn how to move in a manner that will keep them safe.
Why do you think that's something that maybe isn't considered as much by other techniques, other gyms, other trainers? Now, we're not, I'm just going to be really clear in here, so we're not saying that everybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm not suggesting that there's not bad gyms out there, that's all bad gyms out there. But you have a very specific kind of approach to this. So I'm just curious about why others don't see it that way.
It takes a lot of experience, so I can be honest. You know, I would have been like the trainer at a regular gym if it wasn't for my father, who has 30 years in the game, you know, in this industry.
But you've just aged him, Adrena. He's not going to be happy. You've just aged him.
Well, he is my dad, so. Sorry.
He's not listening. He's good. We could kick him out if you want.
Well, he has a lot of experience, and then you have the trainers in the fitness world who are passionate of what they do, and it's bigger than just giving people a good workout. You know, I can see with my dad's experience that he gets a lot of people who have medical injuries and different histories that you have to be careful with them. But when you think about it, it's not just the people who are already having issues, right? You're trying to prevent people from gaining issues. And that all comes along with being, you know, strong enough to recover from certain things or learning how to move correctly so you don't get injured. Even athletes, like, you can have a very talented, naturally talented child who is very fast or can be very good in a specific sport. Mm-hmm. But if they don't learn how to move correctly, they'll never be better than the person who knows how to move better. So, you know, that's what we like to teach, how to gain those strengths for the longevity of your life experiences before you have injuries.
It's interesting. I've heard yoga being spoken about on many occasions as it being practiced. It's just getting back to what we could do, not getting away from it. It's getting the body back to almost what it could naturally do, that we almost train it out of as we get older and we do different things. Is a part of that there when we talk about kids that understand potentially how the whole body moves, and others who just kind of understand that really narrow field of this is what I need to do to be fast or kick harder or something.
Right. Well, I mean,
are we around the same type of?
Well, it's kind of the same. It's just the difference is the child who wants to learn how to be better, or the child who is just naturally good at, they don't feel like they need to learn those things, because the technique is the same. To whatever you have to do to run faster is the, what we teach, because you have to gain muscle in certain areas to run faster, mm-hmm. but is wanting to take the time to learn that knowledge of doing it. Sorry, I have a very alarm clock.
No, we're all good. We're all good. Life goes on around us. That's the big thing. Just stuff happens. So we're all good. Andrew will be joining us in a minute. What we do want to kind of, what I want to do, dig into, and I'm going to ask you this. We're going to have a break in 2 or 3 minutes' time. But before that, what's it like working with family? I know that we've got, I've spoken with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners who kind of work, by default, we work with family. And it's not always easy. Now, Andrew's not here. You can tell us whatever you've already aged him. You can tell us whatever you want. Just talk us through that closeness, but also maybe the independence that you need.
Yeah. Well, luckily we're close enough that I can say this in front of him too. But
I know you can.
It's beautiful when you learn how to work together. And me and my dad, we have a great relationship, and we've gone through those stages of our lives, because I'm his child, where you learn how to communicate. And once you get past that part, it can be so great. And building something together through your family name, it makes it that more exciting. Having someone who's just as passionate as you doing the same thing is, you know, the best part about it. So I really enjoy it. I really can't, I can't make it look like it's easy, because it's not. It's harder working with family probably than someone you can just be like, forget it, I'll see you tomorrow, you know. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And it's really great to have that bond and passion with someone that you love.
We'll kind of, after the break, we'll dig into this, why it's hard, the communication. One of the things that I may even repeat, so you might hear me saying this again. Sometimes I hear this phrase regularly, familiarity breeds contempt. It was kind of one of those big kind of throwaway phrases about when you grow up and there's all these, and it's true. Sometimes in communication of the thing, we just make all these big assumptions the closer we are to people that we actually don't need to explain it.
Right.
Or that they're on the same wavelength, or we're kind of, I know what I want, so the person who's closest to me must also know. It must be really clear to them. So I know that's a huge, huge challenge.
Yes, it is.
Cool. Good. That gives us somewhere to go. So what we're going to do, we'll have a chat about that after the break, and also about kind of the journey, especially over the last couple of years. There's been so much movement within the industry. I know you guys have really, really, really dug in, and I'm excited to hear about what's happened. You're listening to the Mind Buying Leadership here live on talkradio.nyc. We are with Adrina McCready at the moment from Dimensional Training. Andrew will be joining us in a few minutes, and we'll be back after these messages.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
How Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Thank you for listening to the Mind Behind Leadership. We are lucky enough to have Adrina McCreary with us this afternoon. So we're talking about working with family. You said, and I think Adrina was, sometimes it's harder working with family. Just talk me through that.
Yes, it can be challenging sometimes working with family because you often, you know, like you said, you think that, oh, this person knows me, they know how I move, they know how I think, I don't need to explain myself. But communication is always the best thing in any relationship, family or not. And then once you've established a good communication, then things get easier. You know, with me and my father, particularly, you know, I grew up as a child who you don't talk back to your parent, right? But now when you're running a business together, it's like, well, I have to be vocal about not agreeing with certain things that we have to decide together on. And that took a little challenge, you know, was a little challenging in the beginning of our business stage together, but we figured it out. And now we're on a roll.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. We've got Andrew with us. We're just talking about working with family members, and Adrina's saying everything positive. It's interesting. I had my son working with me for some time, and it was actually quite interesting that I got to the stage quite quickly that the kind of the role that he had in the business, he knew better than I did. I knew what needed to be done, but he could implement it much more quickly, much more clearly, and he made good decisions. I'm kind of curious if Andrew's with us. Is he with us? Pop yourself off mute, Andrew. I'm just really curious, kind of, how was that transition of, here's your daughter, here's the person I'm supposed to be teaching, and she's learning from me, and as Adrina just said, I don't talk back, and everything, to all of a sudden, we've got an adult with us with an opinion,
but
somebody we've got that kind of that emotional attachment with. How was that?
Well, it was very, very tough for me because she was my star child. And so she was the daddy's favorite. And so that made it very challenging for me to shift the power for a child that, you know, you do anything for. And you're like, oh God, what am I going to do? Cause she's, you know, she could just, you know, be upset with me and say, daddy, I want this. And I'm like, you know, so. I actually had to consult one of my family members, my closest family member, which is my brother, to help me make this transition because I knew that if anything should happen, that I was powerless with her. I said, I at least have to have someone talk me through this because, you know, I do anything for her. And so that just made it a little bit more tough, but we worked right through it. So I was happy.
It's interesting you used the word power. And it is. It's interesting that we've got this power of responsibility in the role as a parent, kind of to look after, to nurture, to develop and everything like that. But then we've got to give part of that away. And I suppose part of the issue here is, how do we allow people to make mistakes, but in a safe way?
Well,
did that come into it?
Yeah, well, when you're a parent, you know, age doesn't seem to ever matter. And
no.
that's very, very difficult as a parent because you will always be the parent, and then you may often expect the child to still be the child, but also remember that you're the parent. And for most cases, the child tends to always say, I'm not the child anymore. I'm still an adult. I'm an adult now. So there's this transition that the children children tend to want to make sure they know that they've made their place and their mark in life. So their decisions, they want to be heard, they want a lot more, but you've watched them since, infancy. So you're like, okay. So you're humbled by it, at the least.
I suppose we all want to make a mark, don't we?
Right.
Andrew, that's why we do what we do. That's why we open up businesses. That's why we develop businesses. That's why we put our heart and souls and lives and every bit of sweat into it. Into business is partly it's our identity and to make our mark. When we're doing that, Adrina, I'm really curious. Did at any point you feel that you needed to fight to kind of for your part in this, that kind of your personality to be included within that, and it wasn't just I'm my dad's daughter. I'm actually a businesswoman here. I'm part of this.
I don't recall a point where I had to fight for it, because he always wanted to drag that out of me. I started with saying, I'm his daughter, but he was like, you don't even have to tell people you're my daughter, So it took me to learn how to move in that manner of having the power, or, being able to be the person in this position, which I wasn't comfortable with at first. But he always wanted that from me, so I didn't have to really fight for that.
Nice. And how easy was it, Andrew?
For him?
Okay, I'm watching Andrew smile here. There seems to be an annoying smile. So I'm curious, what's the how easy was that that transition for you then?
It was a lot, because my daughter is. She's a daughter, but she's a slash wife. So she tends to think like both, So you can get yelled at as a daughter. I mean, as a father, you can get yelled at as a slash husband, because the way she tends to be like hammer with things that she wants. So, but she did exactly what I expected her to do, because that's what I was looking for. I was looking for to secure the messages behind, my career and what I put into the industry. I needed to pass it on to someone I can trust, and I needed to hand it to someone who could move that vision forward in my absence. And so I always believed she could.
Even with the best business, but the most successful business partnerships in the world, we've got a vision, but not everybody wants to move forward. So we kind of talked about the emotional side of things. How do we deal with that transition? How do we allow somebody to develop as a person that we love as well as respect their opinion within the business? How do you guys deal with maybe, Andrew, you think we should be doing this, and Adrena's not so sure, or kind of needs a little bit more convincing or a little bit more evidence? How do you deal with situations like that? And first of all, can you think of one?
Well,
you've maybe not been in 100% alignment.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a yes. I'm looking at the reactions.
I think that in our situation, being family, that's where the pros come in that question that you asked, because a lot of it has to do with how we were raised to be as people, and we believe. How we run our business, it has a lot to do with our beliefs and how you should be with people, to people, how you should treat people, things of that manner. So what's the word I'm looking for that means, Daddy? Like, how we treat our members, we treat them like family, how we would treat them. So
selfless.
People love and
selfless,
when you're selfless. So we agree on that, and then when one of us go out of that, the other person brings us back, and it's what we has always been proved to work for us. And when I say us, I mean our family. In every single trial, anything that we've been through, it always brings us back. So we have each other to like kind of remind us, no, but it's always worked. So why do you want to go outside of that? And I think to add on to the question you asked, that remind, like what with us both having the same vision is what's important. Because if you have a partner who may like your vision and want to change it to be better, but different, it's not the same vision. And that's the good part about what we have is like, I believe 1,000% in the vision that he created, and I'm just here to help make it happen.
We can have the same vision and we can look at different ways of actually going to get to that point. I'm curious about this word selfless. That's your natural approach. I can see that's a natural approach. Andrew.
Yes.
So talk me through that.
Yeah. So my family, we were always, we grew up in a very religious family. We were always very serving. We were taught very young that to love is to serve. And so in serving people and learning to help people and learning to give more for less, that's how we also built the business, built off by giving to people, learning to give of ourselves, it would always come back. You give out good, it comes back. And so based off of those fundamentals, those are the core fundamentals that the business was founded on and should continue to stay on as it relates to helping people who need help. The service itself is to help people, educate people, to give to them, to help provide for them, provide a better way for them when they're struggling with things. So it's not a system that's designed that, you know, this is in it for me, so I'm going to do that. It's more so, how do we help someone else? We see people struggling, and most people have been suffering mostly with their health and life, you know, for years. I mean, for centuries. It's just a matter of who can help them see a different path to do it. And so that's what we've ventured out in this industry to be those people.
Matrina, thank you for that. And Matrina, looks like you have anything to add to that.
No, that pretty much, I mean, that ties it up. That's what I was taught. He was taught, and it's working. It works for us, and it always comes back. And to be honest, I believe that's how we got through COVID, because there's businesses who were open longer than us, that were bigger than us, that didn't last, you know? So I choose to keep the values within and pray that, you know, that we can continue to find partners that believe in the same thing and can keep it going.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break in a moment. When we come back, let's dig into why I hear companies coming up with visions and values and all these beliefs, and it almost seems like they shoehorn some of the teams into it, or that there needs to be this reminder. Adrena, you've just said, this is how I was brought up, so this is who I am. So who I am is who what the company vision is, or the approach rather than just the vision. So we know what the vision is, but the approach is selflessness.
Correct.
So the approach is being being a servant of it. So let's explore into that. What the impact of that on the communities? I'm really curious about the community, because I know you're big on community. Is second thing. Third thing is that journey. What's happened through over the last couple of years? And where you've kind of gone from to where you are now. You're listening to The Mind Behind Leadership live on talkradio.nyc. We have Adrena and Andrew from Dimensional Training. We'll be back straight after this.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
I've got to admit, welcome back. You're listening to the Mind Bang Leadership. I've got to admit, I'm disappointed. I think this is the first time we've got to this break and you're not dancing to the theme tune. We'll get that fixed now before the end of the show. So we're talking about selflessness, being a servant, and being that, okay, the company had kind of a vision, and I'm more kind of interested in this approach. And I know that community is huge for you. So when we talk about fitness and training and gyms and studios and all that kind of stuff, I know a lot of companies talk about community and they say, you know, come and join us and you'll meet lots of other like-minded people and they'll keep you going and we've got accountability and all that. It feels like your community is different. Can we talk through that? Really curious about who you attract and why they stay. Adrena, we'll just bring you off. There we go.
Okay. Our community is different. We have, you know, like when a lot of people go to gyms, they usually fall into meeting people that are similar to them, you know, whether it's the same weight loss goals or experience or fitness levels. Our community has a wide variety of different fitness levels, different age groups, different ethnicities, you know, and we encourage them to all be super close. So we kind of make them move together in classes, things that they can't go out and talk about it with anybody else because they would never experience it anywhere else. So I think that part of it brings them closer together because they literally become like best friends somehow, some way. The groups of people that we have, which is great because when we do challenges like the one we have coming up, they feel like they're not alone doing them, you know? So Daddy, you want to add on?
Yeah, so our community is, you know, we, in respect to servitude in the community itself is because, you know, the community itself is a very saturated community with fitness and and there's a lot of, you know, as they call sharks for businesses, they're just in it for the money and they're just in it, you know, they come and go. And we're, you know, we position ourselves to say, as we learn, you know, about the community and build a community, we're not going to charge prices that are super high as we're learning how to plant our feet with the method that we use and uniqueness of our service. You know, we're not going to charge people outrageous prices just so that we can get ahead and we don't grow with our community. So that's what we wind up doing. We started giving more for less. We started allowing our work to show people that we cared. We weren't in it for just the money. We all, you know, we always took less money. There's never a point that we overcharged. We've always taken less just so that we could learn through the experience. And then we teach the same humility to the, you know, to the new onboarders, the new trainers who come in to learn. We teach them how to, to, you know, to do the very simple things like clean up behind yourself, you know, because, you know, these are things, learn to treat your customer as your client, as, you know, as if you were at the dinner table yourself. You know, you don't want to tip a waiter that didn't give you good service. So, you know, we teach this same, these same work ethics to our team as we continue to grow. And then as the business grow, we learn all to grow together as a family.
Something just jumped to mind. This is why I love doing this. Because when we have a chat, we've spoken many times. Yeah. And because we're discussing it like this, other kind of things jump out. Well, I work with a lot of businesses where we get the process in place.
Right.
Where this is how you serve someone. This is how you do this. And if you do that, you're going to earn your money, you're going to get a tip, and everybody's going to feel good. This isn't a process for you.
No.
This is just an approach. So would it be fair to say that you would actually struggle to write all this down?
Yeah.
Because this is what you do. It's not about what you, it's how you approach it. It's the mindset of it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so when you love what you do, like when it comes to this industry, like you want to learn more to help other people. And so it's never really about you. Like you have someone who come in and they have, you know, this injury that you've never heard of. Like you do the research, you want to find out the best way to help this person. And it's helping your business by gaining the knowledge, right? But you're ultimately doing it to help someone else. And it always comes back full circle. And that's where our serving comes from. You stay up late at night trying to figure out how to help someone else. That's just how it is.
I'm really curious, where does that line come in then? If we're always looking to set, we've got that mentality of servitude, of selflessness, where do we stop and look after us? How much of a challenge is that?
Well, I don't have an experience of learning how to take care of myself first. It's just not what I do. Like I'm the guy that opens the door for the people. So it's like, this is my nature, right? You know, when you see people, you know, you have people just walk by and they don't care. That's not been my nature. So I don't have the best experience. So for me, moving forward to have other team players who do know how to make sure these elements of our practice is protected. Yes, I do. You know, we have that in place, but as a practice, how we practice, no, our hands on directly to the customer must be, you know, with service.
Andrew, Adriana, go on.
Well, I want to add on, because this brings us back to the original topic, is that my dad has always been like that, you know, putting other people first, you making sure that these clients are taken care of. He doesn't turn off, he barely sleeps, right? Because he just loves what he does so much. He's always trying to figure out how to make it better. I've learned not to fully do that where I don't take care of myself. I've learned that I have to take care of myself to be able to take care of others. So it's more, my morning routine is take care of myself, and then I go and serve for the rest of the day.
I'm really curious. This is really insightful. That we've got a passion, we've got a drive, we've got a vision, we've got an approach. We know all this works. But we're also turning around and saying, I know that I need to get other people around me to have that self-check-in. To kind of maybe rein me back.
That's where we have a good balance. My dad will work until he can't work no more. And I learned how to find the balance between both. So when we get our onboarding people, it's just not like, this is what you have to do in order to, you know, be on the same page as us. Like there's a good balance where we teach them both, teach them how to really work hard, teach them how to take care of themselves first. But this is what the goal is, that we all have to be on the same page to reach.
Do you know how difficult, do you know how many books have been written and how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of bucks that companies pay people to come in and try to create that? And you've got that balance there. So I don't want to go into the kind of what the impact is on that on a personal basis. I know what you're doing in this, but what I'm definitely curious of is we've got that community. Something happened about 2 years ago that kind of changed business significantly. Can you talk us through just briefly, kind of My guess is I can guess part of what happened when we went into lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. Can you just begin to kind of talk us through what the journey is, community impact, and how you began to even think about getting back out of it?
Yeah, so COVID happened. And
that was it. I couldn't remember the name. I've not heard it mentioned for at least 10 minutes.
COVID happened, and it was a huge, it was tough. It was a huge struggle for a year to figure out how are we going to continue doing what we've built for all of these years. We were shut down for almost 7 months with not being able to step foot into our studio. So we had to figure out really quick how to transition, and we transitioned to virtual training via Zoom. And then we, you know, found different platforms where we did the virtual training on. And literally that's my dad. He figured that out. We just followed every step. So he's the technical person in how we did it. Our biggest goal was figuring out how to do what we do in the studio, which is so personal, so in person, so individualized via virtual settings. That was the biggest struggle, but we did well. And that's where our community came in. They really spread that word. And we had over 100 people in one class, and we had multiple classes a day, and the people loved it. You know, everybody missed being in the studio, but we figured that out, which was great.
And Kiel, what was the pressure then? If we're being selfless, we've got this attitude of servitude, and we know others are going through some real tough times. Does that come into... How does that play when you're looking to kind of restructure a business and make sure that you're looking after each other? And we're all going through it as well. We're going through stuff that we've never gone through before individually. How do you balance that?
So it was very challenging because we didn't understand the economy, the temperament of the economy. We didn't understand the atmosphere. We had to learn like everyone else learned, but we had to be as frugal as possible. And we also had to be as mindful as possible for what it meant to our community. So given the fact that we weren't in person, we had to find a way to maximize their home space. So we basically always, you know, we were big on having them really position themselves in a way that they can, you know, position themselves in a way that they can, we can see how to communicate with them clearly. You know, we're such a hands-on, we had to make sure we saw angles and they understand angles, and then they understood what the value of what we brought to the table. Like to be able to train in your home, to be able to understand what you have in your home versus the person in the camera number four having their home. We learned these things really, really fast.
And what we had to do was pretty much know that the world is experiencing the same thing that you're feeling.
Yep.
That you're going through, what, no matter if it's your business, your personal life, whatever. But that's what made us know we had to be more selfless, because it's not about us, right? We're all going through the same thing at the same time. So that was our opportunity to give more to the community and just know and have faith that it's going to come back around. And it did. It did. It kept our doors open.
It's incredible faith that you're showing. But I would also say it's probably one of the first times I've heard a company owner turn around and say it was about them rather than how do we keep clients. It's how do we make sure that we maximize space? How do we maximize their experience rather than just keeping clients when we're going through this? You know, the kind of the siege mentality.
Well, it was all the same.
We're going to go to a final break. And when we come back from the break, I want to see, what has that brought? I'm really curious because I know there's been developments since we last spoke. So we'll talk about how we met and also the developments in the business, which I'm really excited to hear about. You're listening to Mind Bind Leadership Live on talkradio.nyc. We have Adrina and Andrew. We'll be back right after these.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, and what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. Final part here. This has just flown in. Every time I speak to somebody, I say, it's going to be an hour? That's a long time, what we're going to talk about. And it's never enough time. And it feels like we've got hours that we can actually talk here. Now, we met. This is the plug. This is us getting a little bit of ego here. We met on a television show for Verizon, where you were... out of thousands and thousands and thousands of businesses that could have been chosen, you were chosen as a business by Verizon to kind of talk about your experience through the initial stages of COVID, that kind of first 7 months that you spoke about, Adrina, and how you were coming out of it, what the plans were and everything like that. Talk us through kind of how that came about, and then we'll go to where we're going to from there.
Well, we were super honored to be chosen by Verizon to do that, and definitely excited that we got to meet you, Graham, as our coach. We learned so much through that short period of time, and we really took in everything that was advised for us to grow, and especially during the pandemic. And we do believe that a lot of it helped us get to where we are now. And we kept our promise and we opened up our second location, which really was with the help of the knowledge and advice that was given to us during that show. So, you know, we're grateful, super grateful.
You've opened up another place. This is still where the industry is contracting, or it's shifting, the demographics are shifting, people's locations are shifting, people's ideals are shifting. All of a sudden, we've said, let's go online, let's give them great experiences, and people are like, well, why should I go to the gym? Why should I go and visit somewhere when I can now do this at home? So we're getting this massive migration and shift of people in the workplace as well as personal lives. How have you managed to open up another location? Really curious. How did that come about?
Well, I use the word temperature when I described, how we looked at what was happening for the fitness industry. When COVID, the law officials deemed COVID was, gyms were spreaders, popular spreaders. So we were the healthiest industry, but we was deemed as like the unmost fit place. So we That's what was humbling for us. And so where a lot of other companies did not understand what that temperature was, what that temperament was, like, we just kind of stayed very tight, close, and trusted. We had to learn to trust the community, learn how to rebuild the trust within the community from both platforms, from the community for people who are online, to let sure that they were still able to reach us and know that we're still available, as well as the people who wanted to be out of their house, who had cabin fever out of nobody's business, you know? And so it allowed us an opportunity to learn both atmospheres, the temperature of both atmospheres as best we can. It's still like any other forecast, you know, that's just the way the pandemic really, really affected most businesses. It's just like the weather, you know, getting the weather report. You got to kind of feel it and find out where it's at. You know, there's no one, you know, investing with 100%, 100% here, 100%. It's everything's a risk taking. Go out with an umbrella no matter what, you know. So in this case, in this environment, we just learned to see opportunities that come to us, and we slowly walk. We don't risk take hard risk. We take very small, cautious precautions. Frugal and being safe. Safety is everything to us, from fitness to health to wealth, everything. Safety is first.
It's interesting being, especially being an industry that is so personal. My guess is you were under a lot of scrutiny as well, because, you know, other people who are in your space, I'm not going to say competitors, other people who were in your space would maybe be doing it a different way or taking a different approach or having different ideas. So there must have been a lot of scrutiny about why you're doing it this way. As you say, you know, it's building that trust. Trust we can do it online. Trust that we can bring you back in the studio is safe. Trust that we've still got your best interests at heart. Trust that there's still a community out there. There's a massive lot going on there.
Well, Graham, again, like we started, you know, we didn't approach this business to try to get rich. You know, we didn't come in the industry to try, you know, like most people that I guess open businesses, that's not our background. It's my background. I don't have a business degree at all. You know, I come from a service degree. You know, I come from a caring degree. That's my degree. You know, the school of hard knocks, like learning how to give and receive. I'd rather give than receive. You know, that's my background. And if I can help somebody, that's my life, you know. And I believe the blessings come. I believe the reward comes from. I believe every hard worker, you get your reward. I believe that. I just don't believe in people taking the rewards, you know. So that's my philosophy, my personal philosophy. I don't believe in people taking what you didn't earn. So that's where I come from.
Regina, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, a lot of people would do it differently, but we've had to continue doing what works for us. And during the pandemic, we also were limited on how many people can come to this one location. So we needed another location to get more people in, because everybody wanted to be in, you know. So it just worked out. You know, I could definitely say a lot of people would probably do things differently, but it's working for us. And as we both said, it's proven to, the more we give, the more the business just continues to rise up. And we haven't stopped. We're continuing to, you know, do better and better with our knowledge and growth and understanding the temperatures that are given to us. We definitely are following and watching, but also keeping our community first, which the more happy that they are, that's what I was going to say at the last call, it works hand in hand, right? It's that we're not doing it for money, but it's coming right back to us, because the more people we keep happy, the more people they want to tell how happy they are. And it just works. That's where the money comes in. And we don't have to do so much.
It's difficult, is it?
Huh?
Do the right thing. It's not difficult. It's do the right thing.
Right.
I genuinely think we sometimes overprocess this stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, there's so come on, where are the two gyms? Where are your two studios now?
We have our first location is in Garden City,
New York. So everybody knows how to get a hold of you, sorry.
Garden City, New York in Long Island. And then our second location is in Long Beach, New York, also in Long Island, right on the beach.
Right on the beach. You're making me jealous. But in saying that, we've got summer here. It is raining to here at the moment, so we don't have the weather for it. I'm quick. How can people get in touch with you both? What's the website?
Our website is dimensionaltraining.com. And our phone number, 516-485-8800. And our Instagram, also Dimensional Training, as well as our Facebook. Right?
Guys, this has been really, really insightful. Interesting what you said. You know, put good things out there. That's what comes back to us. That's why you're involved with Verizon. I get that you know, one of these things was that we were you know, very much chosen to do this out of 1,000, but that was the reason that you were chosen, is because you're doing good things out there. I've seen the community firsthand, which was amazing. And I've also experienced some of your stuff online as well. All I can say is that this conversation has not gone where I thought it would go. And I'm so grateful for that we're really exploring servitude and selflessness. That's the kind of the two things that have jumped out. So thank you so much for jumping on. I know you've got such a busy day, and it is one of those times at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that everything's happening around, especially in your industry. So Adrina, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on and spending some time. I would genuinely love to have another conversation at some time. Maybe share that with everybody else. Thank you to Kyle McLeister as our producer in the Boston, here on talkradio.nyc for another show of The Mind Behind Leadership. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas.
This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.